You ready, Greg?
Recording. He's gone.
Yep. Excellent. All right, red start. My name is Max. And I want you to tell me, what's a tree that grows from an acorn called?
Acorn.
An oak.
Ooh.
All right.
I thought an acorn tree.
Nice try. What's a funny story called?
A joke.
What's the white of an egg called?
The white.
It's not called the yolk. It's the white of the egg. All right. This outlines the most important part of decision making, which is that we create cognitive maps that we live by that preclude us from making complicated and smart decisions. You make that decision every time you choose to think the same way. Now, I also have some very exciting news to tell you all today, which is that today you are debaters. Before this, you are people who are learning about debate. You've had a number of debates. You've probably figured out at this point whether or not this is something you are interested in and would like to continue, etc. All right? At this point, I'm choosing not to have a funny story or a dance or perhaps a cheer or a chant to get you excited about this process. What I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you some opportunities to win debates. I'm going to give you some information to learn about how to win debates. And if you'd like to learn about that, feel free to write this stuff down and ask questions and be involved. If you choose not to do so, feel free to go to sleep. I'm not going to wake you up. I'm not going to bother you. It's your decision. Roman numeral number one. Affirmative. Pre-tournament. The first thing you have to do when you're affirmative is you need to select your affirmative case. And this is the first decision that you'll have to make. And quite possibly the most important thing you'll do on the affirmative. You need to pick an affirmative case that will maximize your options to win. Maximize your options to win. Right? In the land of decision making for the judge, the way that the judge is going to decide whether or not you win the debate in the end is that they're going to compare the arguments that you win against the arguments that the negative team wins. The affirmative team will win some level of an advantage, a reason why doing the plan is good, right? Wearing school uniforms, requiring school uniforms is a good idea because it stops school violence. Requiring vouchers is a good idea because it increases students' education. Those are all advantages to your affirmative case and plan. Now, against that, the judge will compare the negative side. There are going to be disadvantages. There are going to be turns to the affirmative case, and there will be critiques. The judge will weigh back and forth and make a critical decision. Now, if you select an affirmative case with a very strategic and good advantage, then you can go very, very far. It sets you off with a very big side on this side, and it makes the work for the negative a lot more difficult. Letter B. You should prepare for the arguments that you expect to hear. You should prepare for the arguments that you expect to hear. When you write a case, you should be aware that there are going to be generic arguments, and there are going to be arguments that are very strategic that link to your plan. If that's the case, you should make a decision about how you're going to face those things. Preparing to debate on this topic and not being ready to discuss the state's counterplan is a death sentence. Almost every debater in the country will be prepared to debate the state's counterplan. When you write your affirmative case, you must think about writing the state's counterplan and how you're going to answer. I suggest you take a manila folder and you write on the label, State's Counterplan Answers. And you put in there all the ideas that your lab leaders and that you have on a single piece of paper, or on several pieces of paper, and then use them when your opponents attack you with the state's counterplan. Letter C, pre-tournament. Think outside the debate. Look into the ideas and values that you are about to advocate and think about. Unlike almost every other debate topic that you will ever debate, this is a rare one that affects you. Take that into account. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Letter C. Think outside the game. Think outside the game. Think outside the debate. Right? This is not just something that you're going to do on a Saturday afternoon that might get you into college. This is an opportunity that people can have to listen to you, where you can say your piece and someone, an authority, a teacher figure, a college student is going to sit in the back of the room and listen to you. And I bet there are a few of you that don't get listened to enough. Roman numeral number two. Roman numeral number two. During the round.
What?
A.
What?
What? Roman numeral number two.
Okay.
During the round. So we're starting the debate round. Right, that was before we start. During the round, A, maximize thinking time. Maximize thinking time. Right, preparation time is not for you to write out your speech. Preparation time is for you to think about the ideas that are being debated in that round. Maximize thinking time. Cross-examination is a free opportunity for one of you to spend 3 minutes thinking complicatedly about the arguments in the debate round. Use that time. B, communicate with your partner. That should be simple enough. Debate is a team activity. You could be the superstar that you are, but if your partner is unhappy and not working effectively, you will lose. You work as a team. That means coordinated effort and activity. Let us see. Things to take into consideration. Things to take into consideration. Now, you should have a debate notebook. All right? You've already got an awesome start. You've got a debate notebook. But after I leave debate camp, what do I put in that notebook? You should write down these things about your local competitors. Right? When the Dallas Cowboys go to play the Miami Dolphins, the reason why they win, sometimes, I don't care, insert your favorite team here, right? The reason why they win is because they scout the other team, they understand the other team, and then they practice, and then they defeat them. You should do the same thing in debate. Underneath letter C, number one, you should understand your opponents. Know your opponents. Know your opponents. Right? You're going to get to know some of the people you debate pretty regularly. Do they enjoy certain arguments? Are they really good at certain things? Are they really bad at certain things? Number two, you should take into consideration your judge. Know your judge. Right? Wherever you debate, there are going to be a few people you will see judging on a regular basis. Get to know them. Understand the things they like. Talk to them outside the debate round. Make them your friend and make them want to vote for you. Number three, what are your strengths? What are your strengths? What are you good at? And weaknesses. Recognize those things, right? Be honest with yourself. If you have a strength, think about trying to make the debate go about that, right? You spent an entire 3 days with your lab leader at camp talking about the states and federalism counterplan. That is not wasted time. You are now an expert in that area. Use that knowledge to make the states counterplan and federalism debates almost everything that you want to talk about. Force your opponents to talk about the things that you are good at and practice on the things that you're bad at. Roman numeral number, are we on four? We're on three. Thank you. The 2AR. 2AR. All right. I'm going to take a minute or two and talk specifically about the second affirmative rebuttal. Roman numeral three is the 2AR. This is the round, this is the speech where you persuade the judge to vote for you. Right, this is the important part. in terms of decision making. All right? This is where you come back to this scale and you say, the affirmative side outweighs everything else. We win. It's not quite that simple. I want to suggest a couple of things about the 2AR. A, minimize the negative arguments, right? I call it mitigation down here. What does mitigation mean? What? Minimize negative arguments. That's pretty good. That's exactly what I said. You get a gold star for the day. All right? You want to try to make these things look as weak as possible. Attack the levels, attack the links, attack the uniqueness, attack the negative positions to make them weak. Because when these are weak, you can outweigh them more easily. B, talk about your impact. Why does your case matter? Talk about your impact. Why does your case matter? All right? You want to talk about the 2,500 kids that are victims of school violence every single year. And you want to make sure that when that judge throws the vote negative, that they've got blood on their hands for voting against you. Right? You want the judge to know that you solved this problem and it's really bad. C, be bold, be bold, take risks, all right? Sometimes you'll turn a disadvantage. You could throw away your affirmative case sometimes if you turn a disadvantage. Sometimes your opponents make a minor mistake that you can punish them on and you can win the debate on. Don't be afraid to go for the things that seem risky. All right? Now let's talk about the negative. Roman numeral number 4. Negative. Negative pre-tournament, before the tournament. Negative before the tournament, before the tournament. Letter A. Prepare against the major kinds of affirmatives. And think intently about the kinds of arguments that will apply to multiple affirmatives. Let me say that one more time. Prepare and think about arguments that will cover lots of different affirmative types. Let me give you an example. Again, the state's counterclaim, right? I just heard Sarah Jane tell y'all that you have to use the federal government when you're affirmative. That means that almost every single case links to federalism and can use the state counterclaim against it. What a rare opportunity. You have an almost straight up guarantee that that negative argument will be usable in almost any situation. That's the kind of thing that you should prepare. All right? Does that make sense? All right, B. Make certain areas of argument yours. Specialize. Become an expert. Make arguments yours. Make arguments yours. Specialize. Become the expert. Make an argument yours. When I debated, I picked one thing my first year in college, and I spent 4 years researching. And every opportunity I could, I would debate about it. And you become the master of certain arguments. You may not choose to do that. You may not choose to invest 10 years of your life to a particular argument as I have. Right? I'm a lunatic. You have the option, however, to become very good in a short period of time. Use that by specializing. Reading, reading, reading. Specializing. All right. Letter C. prepare to divide labor. Prepare to divide labor. Prepare to divide your labor. Oh. Now remember, in a debate, you debate with a partner, right? Your partner and you should be experts in different things. That will be useful because there are two negative speeches back to back. When those two speeches happen, if you do your thing that you are an expert in, and your partner does their thing that they are an expert in, and they win those arguments, then you are effectively creating a very, very difficult time for the affirmative. All right? Now, if you prepare that way and you say, all right, well, we got a weekend and we're going to do some work. If you both pick the same thing to work on, then when it comes time to the debate, you'll say, oh, I want to talk about that. No, I want to talk about that. All right? So start thinking about that early. All right. Roman numeral number...
five.
Thank you. Five. The first negative constructive. The first negative constructive. A. Maximize paths to victory. Maximize paths to victory. What? Maximize the ways that you can win. That means putting forward several good arguments. I haven't seen this yet in some practice debates, all right? Most people are finding a single kind of thing and sticking to it. Think about running several disadvantages. Attack the case, right? If you make multiple attacks on the negative, then you have a rare opportunity later in the debate to make decisions about which ones are working and win on those. If you start in the beginning with a wide variety of options, you can select what is the most effective for the victory later on. B. Use case terms. Use case terms. B. Use case terms. What's an example of a case term that you have that's very good that Sarah Jane just talked to you about? Ageism is the first one I heard. Yeah, that's a good case term. Case terms, all right, you should write this down. For those of you in TV land, I apologize because I'm about to swear. Case terms steal your opponent's shit. I apologize right now for my potty mouth. You steal your opponent's best arguments. Case terms take the part of the affirmative that the affirmative is going to need to win, the advantage, and turn it into a disadvantage, right? Ordinarily, you'd have to weigh down this side by doing a lot of work. In this case, you're just moving the weight from the affirmative side over to the negative side. And that saves you time, energy, and power. Roman numeral number six. The negative block. Negative block. Number six, the negative block. The order of the speeches, right? 1AC, repeat with me, work with me. 1AC. 1NC.
1NC.
2AC.
2AC.
2NC.
2NC.
1NR.
1NR.
Whoa, hold off. We're done. You were rolling though, right? Two negative speeches go back to back. What kind of power is that? Right? That's a negative block where you get 13 minutes to put an incredible amount of damage down on your opponents. All right? The negative block. That's those two speeches together. A on the negative block. And the negative block. You should get rid of bad arguments. Eliminate bad arguments. All right. During the 2NC, You should stand up and say, all right. You should realize we're winning this disadvantage, but we're losing the other one. So you want the one that's bad to go away. How do I do that? How do I make arguments that I've made in the debate go away? Yeah, man. One more time louder, sir. I don't know. You discuss them with what? Okay, yeah. You could try to win the argument, which is what I'm saying you want to do with the other one. Right? You got a good disadvantage and a bad disadvantage. Right? The good disadvantage is the one that you're feeling pretty good about winning. The bad disadvantage, you want to just not be part of the debate anymore. In this case, you want to, and you should write this down, select arguments made by the affirmative team. Select arguments made by the affirmative team and extend them. You run a disadvantage. And your opponents say, no impact. There's no impact to this disadvantage. You say, fine. There's no impact to that disadvantage. It goes away. Disappears. That process is called kicking out. All right. B. Things to evaluate. Things to pay attention to. All right? Things to evaluate. Things to pay attention to. The time. Not the time in terms of how much time you have left, but how much time and energy your opponents put in to dealing with your arguments. You put forward some complicated, excellent, smart arguments, and your opponents responded to them. Some of them, they might have debated for 5 minutes. Some of them, they might have debated for 20 seconds. Which one are you more likely to win? The one with 20 seconds. Right? Because if there's 20 seconds worth of answers on it, right, that's a lot easier for you to respond to than 5 minutes worth of answers. Do you want me to say that again?
Yeah.
All right. The amount of time that your opponents spend on your arguments is an indication of how good their answers are, usually. Now, if you read an argument and your opponent spends 30 seconds answering it, they probably only made 2 answers, right? Now, if they spend 4 minutes, they might have made 8 or 10 answers. Number 2. This is B2, underneath number 6.
B2.
The psychological edge. You will often run arguments, and your opponents will be perplexed, confused, disoriented. Frankly, they may misunderstand what you're saying. That is a psychological present for you to defeat them, right? And watch your opponents. When you read a piece of evidence, they say, whoa, hey. They suddenly put their heads together and excitedly say, whoa, hey, what's going on with that? Hey, I don't know. What is that thing? I don't understand. What are you doing, right? If they do that, then that's an indication that they're not prepared to deal with that argument. And it's a good place for you to invest quality arguments. Roman numeral number 7. The second negative rebuttal, or the 2NR. 2NR. A. Use negative arguments to outweigh the affirmative advantages. Use the negative arguments to outweigh the affirmative advantages. Use the negative arguments to outweigh the affirmative advantages. B. Use mitigation to hurt the affirmative advantages to make it easier for you to outweigh them. Use mitigation, right? Use some solvency attacks, use some harms attacks to make it easier to outweigh on the negative side. Sure. Use mitigation to hurt the advantage to make it easier to outweigh with negative arguments. Let me give you an example. The affirmative advantage to school uniforms is school violence. Their advantage, they say that they've got, that they save 200 kids from being shot every single year. All right? Now in the negative, we might say, but school uniforms don't solve all school violence. School uniforms only solve 50% of school violence. That means that you're only actually saving 100 kids. That means that it's easier for you to outweigh on the negative side with a disadvantage or a term. Does that make sense a little better?
No.
No? All right.
If you're saving 100 kids' lives, how is that still... How does that help the negative side? If anything, that would help the affirmative side, wouldn't it?
Well, the affirmative team used to be saving 200 kids. Now they're only saving 100 kids. But let's say they cause a problem, right? They violate freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and they snowball into an American totalitarianism where thousands of people could be enslaved, right? It makes it much easier for the bad things that they do to be outweighed, right? You got advantages on this side. Okay. The amount that they do good. You got disadvantages on this side. Okay. The amount that they cause to have bad happen. If you make their advantage a little bit less, if you say you're not so good as you think you are, then it's easier for the disadvantage to outweigh. Yeah. All right? Last thing to do under the 2 and R. Is C. Evaluate your arguments honestly. Evaluate your arguments honestly. Just because you made an argument doesn't necessarily mean it's good, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. If you're really winning an argument, then tell the judge that and explain why. If you're losing an argument, then determine a way to get out of it and explain a way that you're winning. But be honest with yourselves and with the judge, and it'll increase your credibility. Do you have any questions? All right. Here's the other thing, is I have handouts right here.